Samuel chapter 18, also 1 Corinthians chapter 9. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run, run in a race? All but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under bringing in subjection, lest by that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He said, everybody runs. Everybody has a race. Everybody runs it. He said, but I don't run as one that beats the air. He said, not running foolishly. There's a reason. There's a method. There's a madness to the way we should run. And so we're going to look at that Christian run, the way we should run our race. Now, if you look back in 2 Samuel chapter 18, look down at verse 19. Then said Amaziah, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Amaziah the son of Zadok yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore would thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. God just wouldn't take no for an answer. And he said unto him, run. Then Amaziah ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate under the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also beareth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is the like the running of Amaziah the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man, and cometh with tidings. And Amaziah called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed is the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against the Lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Amaziah answered, when Job sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand there and be. And he turned aside and stood still. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We ask you to give us wisdom and liberty in preaching. And may the word of God be quick and powerful. May it be instructive. May it strengthen, may it lead, may it guide, may it comfort. Lord, may the Word of God be all things to all men, that it might meet the need in each heart and in each life. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Run, Christian, Run. I was thinking about that. I don't know why you get certain things on your mind sometimes. You just do. And I've been thinking about running the Christian race, and you know, everybody's got a course to run. Everybody's got a reason for being here. All of us Christians, we hope, we believe, we trust, have purpose and direction in our life, and that we should accomplish something. There's someplace we need to go, and so we need to run. And I thought, why the emphasis on running? Well, first reason you need to run is because if you walk, it takes too long. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. If you're going to get it all done, you're going to hustle. I mean, you got to run. Amen. Any old fuddy-duddy can walk. Amen. But we need to run. If there's just too much to get done, there are too many people to reach, to sit down and do nothing and just piddle along walking. And I got thinking about running, and I'm going to share some of those thoughts with you this morning. I have 10 little points here, and we'll try to get through with that in about the next 40 minutes or so. But I thought about all the ways we use run and why we run and different definitions or connotations of the word run. You ever think that you can run to something? You can run from something. You can run because of something. You can run scared. You can run in circles. You can run blind. You can run steady. You can run in place. And in case you don't know what that is, when I was in the military, they taught us how to run in place. That's where you get up there and you do like this. I'm running. I just ain't going anywhere. And I thought, boy, I ought to preach on that. That's pretty apropos for today, but I'm not. So you can run in place. You can run for yourself. You can run for another. You can run the wrong direction. You can run with purpose. You can run off course. You can run with weights on your ankles. The more I thought about it, there's just all kinds of ways to run. Some will prove to be beneficial and productive and positive and fruitful, and some will be proved to be a waste of time, and you'll look back and say, I wish I hadn't run it that way. If I had it to do over again, I'd run this way. Now, the little story that we chose to illustrate the point this morning is this young fella. He is full of vim, vigor, and vitality. He wants to run. He's a runner. I mean, that's just what he does. And he is just dying to get at it. Of course, he didn't have any purpose in his running. There's no point to his running. And his running was a disappointment to the people that he ran to because he had nothing to offer when he got there. Kind of a sad story. Sometimes it illustrates the impetuousness and lack of purpose of youthful people, young people. It's not that they don't want to run, they just haven't found where they're supposed to run or what they're supposed to run for yet. Amen. And so I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about running, because whether you like it or not, you got to run. Amen. If you live and breathe, you got a little race to run. And you're either going to do it well or you're going to do it poorly. And the real problem is you only get to do it once. I wish it would be such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing that if in the living of our life, if in the running of our race, we could get to a certain point, maybe we make a little boo-boo or we stumble or whatever it is, and we can say, stop, time out, and then holler, do-overs. Do-overs. There are no do-overs. You got one shot at it. And it's kind of tough because we've never done it before. It's really tough. You know, If you ever think about this, you've got to run your race, you've got to run it right the first time. Now, the honest truth is that childhood and youth is the time in our life where we watch and listen and learn and practice and observe to run. Young people need old people to watch to see how it's done. Because they've never done it before. And if they don't get some help, they won't do it right. That puts a lot of burden on you and I to make sure that we're running like we ought to run. So let me share as quickly as I can this morning, because I've got to get through and go to work. Let me share these 10 thoughts with you, and hopefully they'll be profitable to us. Number one. Don't try to run somebody else's race. That's found in 2 Samuel there, chapter 18, verse 22 and 23. Cushai was supposed to be the man of the hour. Ahaziah decided to run Cushai's race. Now, only one of them had a message, only one of them had a point, only one of them had an objective, only one of them had a goal. Only one of them is supposed to be running this away. So, but this young man absolutely insists that he's going to run. And he does run. And he even ran, obviously, well. And he ran faster than the guy who was supposed to be doing it. It's just when he got down to the end, run his race. So he had nothing to say. He was supposed to have went down and had tidings for the king. But he didn't have anything to say. He didn't have a message. There was no rhyme nor reason to what he was doing. Boy, I thought, you know, a lot of times, if we stop and look at our life, there's not much rhyme nor reason to it. We don't seem to have a lot of purpose. We're not really going anywhere. We're just following somebody else. But we're in such a hurry to get there. We can't wait our turn. We can't wait until we have an objective. We can't wait until we have a goal. We want to run now, right this minute. And a lot of times it's just wasted time, wasted energy. We haven't learned the fine art of patience. Now notice that the fellow who wasn't supposed to run actually got there first. Now you ought to learn this from that. It's the race is not to the swift. It's not always who's the fastest. It's who gets there with the goods. You know, if you're in a relay race, you can cross the finish line, but if you don't have the baton in your hand, don't count. So, I got here first. I win. I'm here first. Yeah, but you weren't supposed to be there because this guy's got the baton. Sometimes I think we waste a lot of our lives just rushing around here and there without thought, without purpose, without direction, without reason, because we're impatient. Point number two. We need to learn that while we're all supposed to run, you're not supposed to run until you're sent. Amen. In Joshua chapter 7, verse 22, the Bible said, "So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran." They were sent, and they had a message, and they ran. Now that's going to prove to be beneficial. That's going to prove to be worthwhile. Say why? Because they've got a reason. They've got a destination. They have an objective. I've got to leave here. I've got a message, and I need to take that message to a specified place. We need to take time and find out where God wants us, where God is going to send us in our lives, and then run there. Remember this young fellow in the first illustration there? He said he ran down by the way of the plain. That wasn't the right course. It was a shorter course, but it wasn't the right course. I honestly believe that way too many people that are saved by God's grace are just running around here and there and everywhere, and they have no real conviction that they're in the right place or that they're doing the right thing. They're just spinning their wheels. And if they spend a little more time with God and seeking God's face and get God's direction, I think we'd be more fruitful in our Christian walk. We would get more done for God. You can't run another's race. You need to wait until you're sent so you can run your race. And then we need to ask ourselves two questions here. For what do I run, and for whom do I run? In 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, Gehazi ran down and he met the king, Naaman. He said, my master didn't take anything from him. He said, but I'm going to go down and get something from him. And so he ran down and he caught up with Naaman and he said, if you want to help me out, I'd take a little. And so Naaman gives him some gold and silver and some changes of clothes. Now, the truth is, Gehazi ran. But for whom did he run, and for what did he run? He ran for himself, and he ran for this world's goods. His master didn't walk Naaman's goods. He didn't do it for a pat on the back from Naaman. The prophet did it for God. But when Gehazi sees it, all he can think about was himself and the waste of all that treasure. I'm afraid a lot of times that in Christian service and in Christian living, a lot of people aren't doing it for the glory of God. We're not running our race on his behalf. We are, in fact, running for ourselves, and we are running for what we can get out of it. If you take the reward out of it, the service disappears. That's what we call a real tragedy. If the only reason we're running the Christian race is to get what's in it for us, if we're using our Christian experience to get ahead, we might want to question why we're doing it and who we're doing it for. Do you live a Christian life? Do you render Christian service for the right motive, for the right reason? Or are you like this fella who did everything he did for himself? And by the way, his actions brought their own reward. And he ends up with Naaman's leprosy. Our motives in running our race for God must be pure motives, or as pure as we can get them. I'll be honest with you, I question everything I do. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? I'm like that old-time preacher. He said his tears needed washing. His repentance needed to be repented of. He didn't trust anything he did, you know. The hardest thing in the world is to be honest and objective and keep yourself out of the equation and just do it for God. Man, that's a toughie. Number four. Running wears you out. We can all grow weary running for God. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5 said, if thou hast run with footmen, and they have wearied thee, how then canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trusted, if the footmen weary us, if we've run with the footmen, and we grow tired. If the little things in life, if the little obstacles, if the little things that affect us, opposition, people's opinion, public opinion, popular culture, if those things weary us, what are we really going to do when it gets tough? The truth is, you know, I've been at this for way over 30 years now, and I have seen people come and go. It's unbelievable. I could sit and name you person after person after person that were saved and loved God, and they were in church and they were serving the Lord, and now they're gone and haven't been seen of in months or years. And you say, where they're at? Oh, they fell by the wayside. They grew weary, and they sit down to take a rest, and they never got back in the race. I'm not exaggerating. I know scores and scores of people like that. They grew weary. So why? Well, running is tiring. That's why. You do anything long enough, and it gets to a point where it's not as much fun as it used to be. It's not as exciting as it used to be. You're not going to come to church and get goosebumps up and down your spine every Sunday morning anymore. After a while, you've heard the messages, you've heard the stories, you've heard all of his jokes, you've heard all of his illustrations, and all you get now is crumbs. You don't get meals anymore. And you just, people grow tired of it. They grow weary. Serving the Lord, they think, well, you know, you first get saved, boy, and everybody's talking about Jesus is coming back. And boy, everybody's all excited because they think the Lord's coming back in the morning. But a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I know a fellow up in Virginia Beach and led him to Christ, made a profession of faith. He got in church for a little while, and he was interested in Bible prophecy. We talked to him about the coming of the Lord and all that. Pretty soon, he dropped out of church, quit coming, and went and talked to him. And that guy said, well, you lied to me. I said, whoa, we didn't lie to you. He said, y'all said Jesus was coming. Well, he thought it meant right now. And he got tired. He grew weary of waiting. So he quit running. Don't let life and the race wear you out. He said, well, how in the world can you prevent? I'm glad you asked me that. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, I want to give you this is point number five here, the secret to not growing weary. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, it said, wait upon the Lord, and thou shalt renew thy strength, and thou shalt run and not faint. Let me tell you how to stay on top of your game and stay in shape to run in the service for the Lord. Stay close to God. Wait on the Lord. When you don't have a personal relationship with Christ, when you don't spend some time in prayer, when you don't spend some time in that book, when you don't spend some time with other Christians, when you don't stay up on what's going on in Christianity, when you don't understand that there's all kind of legal lawsuits and stuff, and Christians are being persecuted, and they're trying to take away our rights as Christians, they harass our children in schools. They want to take away all the Christian symbols in the land. We're at war with the government and with popular society. Amen? And if you're not careful, it wears you down. Let me tell you, you better stay close to Jesus Christ. You better stay in that Bible. You better stay on your knees. You better stay in church. And you better stay close to God's people. And you need to stay in touch with what's going on in the world. If you could sit, you know, you sit here in your little church, our four and no more, and everything's just fine. We got our sweet little lives. We got our little job and our little family. We got our little church and our little group. And we'll have our little fellowship and we'll just get along just fine. And we lose sight of the bigger picture. A world dying without Christ and a world dying and going to hell. And people persecuting Christians and taking away Christian liberties and trying to make it illegal to proselytize and pass out gospel tracts. Listen, we're at war. Our adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion. We cannot afford to grow weary and quit. The only way I know to not do that is to wait upon the Lord, stay close to Him. Let Him give you the strength that you can run and not faint. Then we need reason in our running. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, which is the other passage that we read, Paul said, I run not as one that beateth the air. You ever watch somebody that's never run before in their life and watch a professional runner? I'm here to tell you, boys and girls, they don't run the same. It's like, you ever watch a girl run and then watch a boy run? Now, they don't run the same. And I must confess to you, I'm aggravated. I am not. I am not a supporter of girls in sports. I'm not. Maybe you are. I mean, it's free country. You do what you want to. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't support it. I wouldn't have girls in any kind of contact sport. None. Zero, zip, not a zilch. I went to have dinner yesterday and they had a bunch of girls in there been out playing soccer or whatever it was. Man, they were just way too masculine. Way too masculine. They talked too masculine. They looked too masculine. But you ever watch a girl that was raised as a girl? When they run, it's funny. I mean, they just don't know how to do it. They run like a girl. They don't know how to stretch their legs out and get a big long stride and stuff. They run funny. But you watch them girls been out there playing softball and basketball and soccer and all that, and they get all masculinized, they learn how to do things like boys do them, and they had to learn it because it didn't come natural to them. It bothers me when I see girls that know how to run. Amen? Now, my point is, there's a right way to run and a wrong way to run. And when you see it, you can tell the difference. You take an old country boy that runs up and down them hills, he runs one way, but a guy that gets out here on a track and does those marathons and stuff, he runs a whole different way. Because he's been taught, he's practiced, and he's learned. There needs to be some reason. Then you get to look at those guys that run professionally or run the cross-country races and stuff. Man, there's a reason for every little thing they do. No movement is a waste of energy. Everything they do accomplishes something. Because they need every ounce of strength, they need every bit of endurance, they need everything to give them speed and stamina to finish the race. I remember one time I told my wife, I used to go and eat lunch a lot at this little place in uptown Rock Hill. I can't remember the name of the diner now, but it was a little cafe-like thing. What? Watkins Hot Dog. You've been there, haven't you, Louis? You ever eat Watkins? They had a girl in there named Kay, was the short order cook. I don't know anything about her. I don't know what kind of woman she was. I know nothing about her except it was fun to sit and watch her work. That girl had a couple of griddles there, and I don't know, and they kept sticking them tickets. And you go up there at lunchtime, maybe 50 or 60 people, and that place would be mobbed. And that girl, I mean, when this ham moved, it was doing something. That ham was moving, it was doing something else. And, I mean, she could have 15 orders on them grills at the same time, and she kept them all straight, she kept them all moving. I mean, and she just passing that stuff in. And everything she did had a reason for it. I mean, she was like a machine. It's like she got in some kind of a zone or something. When the rush hour came, it was amazing to watch. And that's the way a professional racer is. As a matter of fact, that's the way almost anybody is that's good at anything. But Christians want to do everything haphazardly. We don't want to expend any energy at it. We don't think we need any training for it. We don't think we need any instruction. We don't receive any advice. And then we wonder why we don't accomplish more in our run. If you watch what are they calling things where you ride the waves? Surfboards. You ever watch a surfboarder? He waxes the bottom of the board and polishes it all up. And he wants it a certain length and a certain width, and the fin's got to be a certain height. Amen. A guy on a bobsled. Every sport, everybody that's going to run in an event does every little tiny thing they can to make sure that they're as successful as possible. And yet we think we can run our race and we can just do it nonchalantly, haphazardly. And then when we get down to the end, we say, oh, I haven't accomplished anything for God. My race didn't amount to anything. I didn't win, place, or show. A lot of times the reason is the way we went about running. We just were too lazy, too indifferent to run right. It took too much time. It took too much energy. We had to put off too many other things, and it just wasn't worth it. We need reason. Then, if you're going to run, you need to run with patience. Hebrews 2:1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You know what everybody wants these days? We want everything we want right now. You live in an instant gratification, instant acquisition society. If I want it, I ought to have it, and I ought not to have to wait for it. Young'uns get married these days. Before they get married, they already bought a house. They've already got it furnished. They already got a car. You're in debt right up here. And they think they're being wise. We're getting ready to get married, and they've got the car and the TV and the stereo and the washer and the dryer and the microwave and the cell phone and the DVR player and the house and the garage and the... Well, that is, they've got everything Mom and Daddy took 35 years to get. And everybody thinks that's wise, by the way. And I don't think that's wise at all. It would have been a lot wiser and would have helped the marriage stick together a lot longer if they'd had to work and labor together to get all those things for the next 10 or 15 years. But we want to run and we want to get to the finish line right now. We want everything to be quick. We don't want to have any patience. Well, did you get to this plateau yet? Did you accomplish this yet? No, and they get aggravated and they want to quit because it didn't happen instantly. It didn't happen spontaneously. It didn't happen instantaneously. We want to be successful. We want to finish the race tonight, today. Well, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? You better have some patience. You need to learn to pace yourself. Then, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 12. We need to learn to run and be careful not to stumble. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 11 said, I have taught thee the right way. Verse 12 said, when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Oh, wait a minute. He said, I taught you the right way so that when you run, you don't stumble. Huh. There was some preparation went into that. There was some training. There was some forethought. He said, I taught you the right way. Therefore, when you run, you won't stumble. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's part of what church is all about, you know. It's to help you learn how to run. But every Christian, especially the ones that are full grown when they get saved, they already know everything. Nobody can teach them anything.
That's right.
Well, who does he think he is? Well, I know how to live my life. Yeah, you've been really successful at it, haven't you? You go out to the prison and talk to them guys out there and them ladies out there. You can't tell them nothing. They know everything. Well, what are you doing out here in this jailhouse then? How come I'm leaving and you're staying? Amen. But even ones that ain't in jail, nobody wants the preacher to tell them nothing. Nobody wants to be instructed of the Lord. And what they do, instead of saying, that's the Lord speaking to us from the Word of God through the preacher, they say, ah, he's just a man like me. I ain't listening to him. He don't know nothing I don't know. Well, you might be right about that, but God knows a lot you don't know. Amen. Amen. Why do you think he wants you to come to church? So we can collect your money? There's more to you coming to church than us collecting your money. You're supposed to come down here so we can help alter the way you look at life, help straighten out your perceptions of life, and give you some direction and purpose and encouragement in how to run your race without making a mess out of it. My goodness, how many Christians do I know that got off to a great start, and the first hurdle they came to, they tripped over it, they stumbled, and they fell. Now, some of them managed to get back up and go on. But they've always got that skin-up knee. They've always got that scar. They've always got that memory. Wouldn't it have been a lot better if they could have faced those hurdles and those obstacles in life's path without having to stumble over them and get knocked down? Thank God that some get up, but it'd be a lot better if they were never down in the first place. Brother Lewis and I went to Hiles Anderson, or First Baptist Church at Hammond here a few years ago, for pastor school. And they had person after person that week. I was impressed. And I'll bet Louis was too. People that had been born to people that went to that church. And they had grown up in that church and went to that school. And now their children are in that school and in that church. And the next generation, they're going to have three or four generations that grew up in that church and in that school. And they've never been out in the world. And when you talk about getting out in sin and fornication and drunkenness and all, they're looking at you. I mean, they understand the words, but it's never been a part of their life. Amen. Well, what a blessing that is, see? Somebody helped them young people get started right, and took care of them and watched over them, and they have never stumbled in all the things that some of us have been through. I like that. Man, I would give both my arms if we could raise up a generation of young people that never been out smoking cigarettes, never been out drinking, never been out being immoral, never been out in drugs and all that stuff, but had been raised in the church, lived for God, they were clean and squeaky, and maybe they're a little not so worldly, and they, you know, they look kind of odd to the world. But wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Body's not defiled, conscience not defiled. If we could keep them from stumbling, that'd be the most wonderful thing I can imagine. Let me give you this one. This is number 9. We are known by our running. Look at 2 Samuel 18:27 for a second. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Amaziah, the son of Zadok. He's watching that guy run, and he doesn't recognize, but he recognizes the way he runs. He said, I know who that is. How do you know? Well, look at the way he runs. Think about one person around here runs like that. He was identifiable to all the observers by the way he ran. My, so the more I thought about that, I'm overwhelmed by it. You know, people that don't know you intimately and personally, and they're not good friends and all that, but they observe you from a distance, but they observe you over long periods of time, and they see how consistent you are and how diligent you are and how faithful you are and how you live your life week after week after week and month after month and year after year. They say, I recognize the run. I see how they run. I know what they are. They identify you as a Christian because you run like one. You look like one. You act like one. You talk like one. You smell like one. We ought to be identifiable to the observers as Christian because of the way we run. We live in a day and age where people say, well, I don't care what nobody thinks. It's my life. I'm going to do it my way. And they can just go to blazes as far as I'm concerned. Why? That's not the right attitude. That's not a Christian perspective. I want everybody to look and say, man, he's one of them fanatical Baptists. He's one of them weirdo Baptists. He's one of those peculiar people, zealous of good works. Amen? You know what? I was looking at those little old kids yesterday. We were down having dinner last night, and they all had on their uniform. Everybody that saw them knew who they were playing for. Amen? Some of them come in there, and their uniforms were perfect and brand new, and some of them, it was a girls' team, and some of them little girls, man, their socks was all ripped up, and the side of their little uniform was all dirty, where they had been sliding or whatever it was, or got knocked down. They had grass stains on some of them. I mean, they didn't all look just exactly alike. They weren't cookie cutters. Yet, every last one of them was identifiable to who they ran for, who they played for. Amen? And so we got room in Christianity for some differences and for individuality, yet we ought to be close-knit enough that everybody knows whose team we're on and who we're playing for. Somebody say amen. 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 Last but not least, we need to know who to run to. Mark chapter 5, verse 6 said, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I may not be the best runner in town. I may not be the fastest runner in town. I may not be the smartest runner in town. I may not always know exactly where I'm supposed to run to. And sometimes I run my message is not as clear as it ought to be. But I tell you one thing I know for sure and certain, day in and day out, year after year after year, I know who to run to. And I'll tell you something almost as important as that. I know who to tell you to run to. Buddy, when there's questions, when there's doubt, when you grow weary, when you get tired, when you stumble, whatever it is, run to Jesus. Amen? I'm not running to some priest. I think sometimes maybe there's profit in talking to people. But I'm telling you, for all the heavy issues, you need to run to Jesus. You need to run to Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, and you're looking for purpose and direction, you want to know how to run your race and win it, and not grow weary, and not grow despondent, and not give up on life, let me tell you how to run that race. Run to Jesus. And let Him give you purpose and direction. Let Him inspire you and give you wisdom and strength to run and to run and to run and not stumble and to run and not grow weary and to run and not faint. The only place I can tell you to go is Jesus. He'll love you and care for you and support you and strengthen you and counsel you. Keep you and lead you and guide you and comfort you until your race is done. When in doubt, throw everybody else out and run to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And Lord, I know our race is going to be a long race, or at least most of us will be. We want to finish it. We want to finish it well. We want to finish it in as good a condition as we can. But Lord, outside of that condition, we want to finish it having done all that we could do. I pray, help us to run. Help us to run well. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen.